Welcome to the Pharmacy Inspection Podcast, where we discuss topics related to sterile and non-sterile compounding pharmacy in an effort to promote compliance and increase quality. The Pharmacy Inspection Podcast is a member of the Pharmacy Podcast Network, delivering quality and meaningful conversations and discussions about our pharmacy industry and the critical role pharmacists play in our healthcare systems. Learn more at pharmacypodcast.com. Please welcome your hosts, Brian Prince and Seth DePasquale.
Hello and welcome to all of our compounding friends and colleagues. Thank you for joining us on this week's Pharmacy Inspection Podcast. We like to talk about all things compounding, and this week we're going to step just slightly to the right of that defined line and talk actually about health and wellness, but of course as a direct corollary to the role of the apothecary. The apothecary in its earliest times, dating back even before Christ, was a place for healing. Moving through history, William Shakespeare mentioned the apothecary in a couple of his plays, including Romeo and Juliet. People have been coming to pharmacists for centuries, looking for answers to what ails them, which is why the pharmacist plays such an important role in the relationship between provider and patient, especially in today's healthcare, with an increasing rates of heart disease, cancer, diabetes, and name your flavor of modern-day ailments. Wellness counseling definitely has its place in today's pharmacy. So in this episode, we welcome Lauren Burnick, whom I've had the pleasure of knowing for many years. She has an incredible personality and a passion for people's health and wellness, which I'm sure you will certainly enjoy hearing about. Lauren works for the International Journal of Pharmaceutical Compounding, which is how I actually met her many years ago. She's joined us today to talk about a closely related topic to compounding. And so I thank you for joining us this week. Lauren, why don't you tell us about yourself?
So I am the Director of Advertising at the International Journal of Pharmaceutical Compounding, probably better known as IJPC. I've been there probably since 1999, left for a little while, was still in compounding. So I've been around compounding a long time. When I was in college, I worked at a dating service, and from there, I owned a singles magazine, and from my singles magazine, I had a lot of different spin-off companies from that, just because I knew I could advertise them all in the singles magazine, and so I had like a group blind date thing called Eight Friends Out, where we matched up four men and four women, and my mom was the chaperone, and we took them out to dinner, and so I sold that in the late 90s, and the interesting thing was, it was a really small niche publication, just like IJPC. So I kind of explored that fully and then sold the magazine. As a matter of fact, Match.com wanted to buy it. At the time, I couldn't really even understand what they were trying to say about people dating online. I was like, what are you talking about, people dating online? And sold that. And then my husband was working at this little startup called IJPC. And their director of advertising was leaving. And so I got the job there. And it really was, even though I didn't know anything about compounding at the time, I understood a niche publication and what that meant to really just delve into that fully with, you know, those people who just did one certain thing. So I've been at IJPC since, like I said, most of the time, and have been really honored and just, it's been just such a great career, just getting to know all these compounding pharmacists and see how they help people. It's amazing. So that's where I am.
That's really interesting with the whole dating thing. That's great.
Yeah.
Wow. It's funny. So, you know, a lot of things these days are really focused on reimbursements and PBMs and pharmacists really taking a hit on the on reimbursements. And compounding pharmacies are finding greatly reduced reimbursements. And many are now going back to an all cash model, which means that some pharmacies are looking to add an additional boutique style service, such as HRT counseling. So tell us how health and wellness counseling is a synergistic service that pharmacies should consider.
Right. So we didn't really talk about this, but so even though I'm the director of advertising at the Journal, I have a little like a passion project that I work on, which is helping people live a whole food, plant-based diet lifestyle to reverse disease. And that came about because I reversed my own heart disease through a plant-based lifestyle. So what I'm doing now, or what I'd like to tell people about, pharmacists can help their patients by putting them on a whole food, plant-based diet. And curing people through diet is going to be the wave of the future. So at the very least, a health practitioner should be familiar with this. People who are coming up behind the baby boomers are not going to be satisfied taking a pill for every little thing. And they are going to want a more holistic approach to curing disease. So I think a lot of the people who are listening to this podcast, the pharmacists, probably got into pharmacy because they wanted to help people. They wanted to make people feel better. And I could be wrong, but I doubt they really see people getting cured from diseases. They more often than not probably see the opposite, where people just pile on medication after medication. And as a matter of fact, I saw a documentary last night. It was in theaters for one night only. Hopefully it'll be on Netflix soon. It's called Eating You Alive. And it was talking about curing people through a whole food, plant-based diet without oil. That's another aspect to this I'll talk about. But curing people through a whole food, plant-based diet without oil. And they said in this documentary, people are not living longer. They're dying longer. And that is just a sad state. And I don't think that pharmacists want to see that. They got into this to help people. And so in their pharmacy practice, they are poised to be in that unique position where they have that touch point with the patients, and they talk to them, and the patients trust them, and they counsel them. And so if a pharmacist becomes familiar with a whole food, plant-based diet without oil and how it works, the ins and outs, how people can live this lifestyle, they can really help them incorporate that. And trust me, they're not going to be putting themselves out of business. Not everyone's gonna want to do that, believe it or not, eat a plant-based diet. But for the people who will turn their lives around and their health around, the pharmacist is going to be a trusted source for them. They are going to feel like, this pharmacist made me better, and now I'm going to bring them compounded prescriptions for my pets, for my children, for my parents, for HRT, for myself. So by no means will they be putting themselves out of business, but they'll be kind of positioning themselves as a trusted health practitioner. And I think we know that heart disease and cancer are the number one and number two killers of Americans in their lifestyle-related diseases. And pharmacists, by counseling patients, can help them reverse those diseases.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, to be honest, you know, I don't know if I'd say I'm a health nut at this very second in my life, but I'm definitely, you know, one of those people that, you know, I was a gym rat at CrossFit's and, you know, gym rat in college and high school. Mm-hmm. And got on the whole paleo bandwagon for a while. And, you know, but to bring it back to the focus of pharmacy, I think there's a lot of really cool opportunities for pharmacies to even add on services to analyze, you know, traditionally analyze people's, you know, various markers for inflammation, or, you know, if you're a believer in the whole cholesterol theories, to analyze some of that stuff as an added service. So you can also throw in some clinical aspects on top of the whole food plant-based diet, that would be really cool as well. What do you think about that?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I get my cholesterol tested all the time, and that was kind of what brought me to this. Is my cholesterol was just so constantly high, and I could never get it down. And I see the listserv from IJPC. I know that pharmacists do not think the world of statins. They realize that this is not really curing anything. It's kind of a Band-Aid. So yeah, they could put in cholesterol. They can, you know, test for cholesterol. They can do all kinds of blood work. But not only that, you can also, and aside from counseling patients, you can charge for that. And you can bring people in to your store for group counseling or for individual counseling. There's things that you can sell them. You can have like a whole little setup in your pharmacy for things that they'll need, you know, plant-based books, cookbooks. Everyone who's on a plant-based diet has to take B12. That's one thing you can't get from plants. Flaxseed. I mean, they're not huge things that you're going to make a ton of money off of, but, you know, over time and with a lot of people doing it, it's certainly something that will bring people into your pharmacy. You can even do, you know, kind of create a little community around it, do potlucks and things like that where people come in and, you know, it just never hurts to build a community. People are going to come into your store for whatever they need. Not every compounding pharmacist has a huge storefront with whatever, Band-Aids and greeting cards, but whatever they have in there, people will come in and buy for sure.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned a couple things in there that are kind of, you know, I really resonate with me in terms of community, cookbooks, and so, I mean, if you want to relate some of this stuff back to compounding, I mean, compounding is a recipe at the end of the day. So, yeah. You know, why not have a community-based environment where you're bringing a whole bunch of people together, all get on the same diet train or same health style. And I shouldn't even say diet necessarily. It's a lifestyle change. And put out some recipes and do some cooking, maybe even a cooking class in the pharmacy in off hours, sharing recipes and that kind of stuff. You know, yeah, you're preaching to the choir for sure. I love this stuff. So, I didn't really tell Brian, you know, Brian and I know, like, you know, we both work out and I think Brian might be working out a little bit more than me at this point, right this second, but we're both a couple of health nerds when it comes to this stuff. So it's
good.
A great topic that I've talked a ton about as well. But you know, like, so you're going to be talking about the benefits of a whole food plant-based diet, at the upcoming American College of Apothecaries, conference. So, you know, give us some if you're willing to, give us some highlights of your presentation and why this topic is so important to compounding pharmacy owners.
Okay. Yeah, I will be talking at the upcoming ACA Nutrition and Wellness Conference in Chicago. And I am really excited about it because, like I said, there's so much science behind this. This is not something that I just pulled out of the air. It's based on the China study. A lot of people have heard of that book. It's one of the number one selling health books of all time, by Dr. T. Colin Campbell and Dr. Esselstyn's Prevent and Reverse Heart Disease Diet book. So there's a huge correlation. You mentioned, I don't want to beat up on the paleos because I know there's a lot of people out there on the keto, on the paleo. I don't want to beat up on that, but there is a huge amount of science that shows the correlation between eating meat and cancer and heart disease. So the science is all there. I'm really going to be talking about that a lot at the wellness conference. And I think it's really important for pharmacists to know this because there are so many trendy diets out there. And the whole food plant-based diet is, honestly, it's indisputable. When it comes to curing people of chronic disease, it's the king. There is nothing else. And once people just try it out, I mean, it sounds so daunting. There's kind of this joke about like the cardiologist saying, oh, well, Mr. Smith, you know, you have heart disease, so we can take, you know, slice your chest open and take a vein out of your thigh and sew it into your chest cavity, and it's going to cost about $100,000. You're going to be laid out for months, and, you know, we can do that, or we can put you on a vegan diet. And Mr. Smith says, a vegan diet? Gee, that seems really extreme. And, you know, it's just, I think that it's really important for the pharmacist to know about this and to incorporate it into their practice, because, like I said, it's the wave of the future. And if they don't know about it, and they're kind of, not to say they're going to be left behind, but it's something important to know about, because it really is the only, I don't want to say the only thing, but yeah, it's probably one of the only things that you can measure it drastically right away. When people get on a whole food plant-based diet, they start getting better. It's irrefutable. And so I think it's really important for pharmacists to know about it. So I'm going to be talking a lot about the science, the studies. This not only cures heart disease, but type 2 diabetes, even type 1 diabetes, it really helps in a lot of ways, which is kind of counterintuitive, because I think they're always focused on, you know, I can't eat carbs and sugar, and they're kind of finding out that that might not be the case. So there's a lot of science about reversing all kinds of diseases with this. I'll be talking about that, the studies. I'll be talking about how to really incorporate this into your practice, how to set up a counseling practice where you can either do it individually or in groups like we talked about before. What else? I'm going to be talking about what a whole food plant-based diet is, what you can eat, what you can't eat. So just very quickly, it's fruits, vegetables, whole grains, and legumes, and a very low-fat diet. You want to have less than 10% fat, and you don't want any refined oils. And this is kind of the kicker and the hard part that people can't believe. Like, oh, I can't have oil? But what about olive oil? Yeah, olive oil is an oil. You cannot have that. You can't have coconut oil. These are just fully saturated fats, and they're artery clogging, and we've been sold a bill of goods that this is for your health. You need oils, and it's simply not true. So I'm going to be talking a lot about that. And so it sounds like you don't get a lot to eat. It sounds like, oh, I'm going to be chasing a lettuce leaf around my plate, but that cannot be further from the truth. You know, I make, today I had a Reuben sandwich for lunch. So I made I sauteed mushrooms in a pan without oil. Mushrooms make their own juice, and that was kind of the meat of it. And then I made the Thousand Island dressing out of tofu and relish and ketchup. And I put some caraway seeds on the bread. I did a whole grain bread and some sauerkraut, and it was delicious. So, and then I made a huge salad. I make a salad without, you know, I have different salad dressing recipes without oil, and ate a huge salad. And then I even ate some French fries from my air fryer. You can cook them in the oven on parchment paper, but you get to eat a lot. And I've never been at a better weight or felt better in my life. So I eat a lot, and I like that. And you get to eat a variety of things. It's not just lettuce.
Lauren, there seems to be a continuing trend where small community pharmacies that do a fair amount of compounding are actually moving away from that traditional front-end retail. You know, the heavy on the greeting cards, Band-Aids, cold medicine. And instead, they're replacing those sales per square feet with nutraceuticals and cosmeceuticals, almost creating more of an ambiance of a boutique-style apothecary. I'm a huge fan of nutraceuticals, and I can say that our household probably spends a fair amount of money on supplements. What are your thoughts on the trends and nutraceuticals as a supplement to the clean living lifestyle?
Well, yeah, I think that there's a space for it. If you're on a plant-based diet, maybe you don't need as many, but look, you're probably going to still need D3. Everybody pretty much needs that. You're going to need B12. You're going to need, like I said, the flaxseed. There's going to be, and then, you know, maybe iron. Just there's going to be good and good quality nutraceuticals. You're going to need ones that are plant-based, you know, for a vegan lifestyle. So that's even another little niche. And the cosmeceuticals, I mean, there's just such a good area for that. Ones that aren't toxic, because again, we all know what you put on your skin is absorbed into your bloodstream. And there are so many cosmetics that are toxic. So that's, I think that's a great revenue stream to have some really good quality nutraceuticals and cosmeceuticals in your front end. You can't go wrong on that.
Any other things you want to bring up? And this is basically your opportunity to kind of have us set you up for success with anything your website or an upcoming webinar or seminar that you want to promote?
Well, first of all, if they're compounding pharmacists, they should be subscribing to IJPC and compoundingtoday.com. Those are two really amazing tools for your practice. So if you're not subscribing to those, you should be.
They absolutely are. Not to cut you off, but you know, I am not getting paid to say this. They absolutely are really great resources. I am a subscriber to IJPC, and Compounding Today is also just a great resource for, you know, I like it for the SOPs, the skeleton SOPs, because yeah. I'm not a big fan of writing SOPs.
Yep. Absolutely. So. And then they can join the listserv and share ideas with other pharmacists. So first of all, they should be doing that. I hope that they'll come out to the ACL. I live in Austin. I just automatically say ACL.
Austin City ACA, Limits. Yeah.
to the ACA Wellness and Nutrition Conference. I think they could go to acainfo.org to find out about that. It's in Chicago, May 3rd through 5th. And then, of course, I hope that they'll check out wellelephant.com if they have any interest in going plant-based. And my email's on that. I, not even for any money, I just do it because I want people to be well. So if they have any questions, they are welcome to email me, call me. I'd love to help them.
Thanks so much for joining us this week. And thanks to Lauren Burnick for coming on the show and talking about another side of pharmacy that compounders could be getting into. Being a nutrition nerd myself, I really appreciated the conversation. Listen, Brian wrote an article last week that has received a lot of web traffic talking about the disparity between hood manufacturers, certifiers, and compounders. We'll be coming out with part two sometime this week, where we'll talk about our clean room certification reports, the differences between what some certifiers may test for, and the disparity between how we as compounding pharmacies test our clean rooms and large manufacturers. We also talk about how to interpret the data from the report, as I think many people just see the pass on there and then file it away. It's imperative to know what those reports say about your controlled environment. Thanks for listening to the podcast. We really appreciate your support. If you have a topic you'd like to hear about, or if you have a question for Ryan and I, or maybe just a burning question that you've always wanted to ask but haven't, ask away. Email us at podcast@pharmacyinspection.com, tweet @pharmacyinspect, or you can even leave a voicemail right at the pharmacyinspection.com website. Until next week, keep raising the bar.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.